Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Pick and Roll live stream here on the Board YouTube channel. We're powered by the Hammer Betting Network, and we're ready to go for some more playoff betting content. If you guys enjoy what you see, make sure you do hit that like button and subscribe to the channel as well, so you know when the content's coming your way, because we go live every weekday morning, but may have some additional bonus content throughout the playoffs that you are not going to want to miss. For today's show, we have a free pick on the way. Also, we'll go through the pick from yesterday's show as well that is still available to get this morning. But one new pick on the way for you guys today. We'll go through the pick. We'll hear Pips' handicap. We'll talk about the NBA action from yesterday, some of the biggest storylines. We'll recap yesterday's bets, and then we will finish off with a recap of what you saw from today. And it was another winning day yesterday. So hopefully we can find that again with a player prop available at the BetMGM Sportsbook. We're going to be going to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are hosting the New Orleans Pelicans, but we're going to be fading one of the Thunder players, and that player is Josh Giddey. We're going to be playing Giddey under 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists. This is available for minus 105 at BetMGM. It's also available for minus 105 at Bet365. A number of places have very similar to this one. You can use an odds comparison tool like the BetStamp app, as always, to find what's available in your region and see where the best price is available to you. If you have access to Pinnacle, you can even get this a little bit better. Minus 103 odds at Pinnacle, but this one is available to the masses. So let's go to Pips now and hear the handicap behind the fade on Josh Giddey.
Yeah, this doesn't look like a Josh Giddey series. He was completely useless in the first game. He had 2 points, three assists, and three rebounds. Played only 19.5 minutes. So I think he's probably going to stay in the range of 16 to 24 minutes for the series, because even the last game, regular season, when they were all healthy, he got 21 minutes, and he was getting 20 to 22 minutes regularly during the season when they were healthy. So yeah, I don't see it for this series for him. First game, he had three assists on two potential assists somehow, but he didn't create anything. He didn't get rebounds, and on offense, he couldn't get to his spot, to the rim. They were like playoff basketball, maybe too big of a stay, like too big for Josh Giddey. Like playoff defense is next level stuff, as we can see this season especially. So, yeah, I think he will struggle, and they need more like Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, like maybe even Aaron Wiggins, who played great. So I think this is not a spot for Josh Giddey. And in limited minutes, he is not covering this line, especially in playoff environment. In regular season, when they play terrible teams like Wizards and Pistons and stuff, his average is below this, and now playoff basketball. I don't see Giddey going from like terrible in the first game to being somehow great in the second one to get more minutes. So yeah, even if he plays like way better, he still had only 8 points, rebounds, and assists in first game in 20 minutes. If he gets 22 minutes, he will need to perform way, way, way better than this.
We haven't seen much of much playoff action out of this Oklahoma City Thunder team. You and me have been pretty negative on Josh Giddey. You especially are very negative on Josh Giddey over the last season or two. So it'll be interesting as they progress through the playoffs. You feel like the further you go in the playoffs, the least use you would have for a player like Josh Giddey. So I'm kind of curious if eventually, like, are we going to be at the point where he's essentially falling out of rotation? I don't think that's completely impossible for the Thunder to want to go in that direction, again, the further we get into the playoffs. But that is the play for today, the under on the points, rebounds, and assists for Josh Giddey. Let's go to the recap of the previous show's picks.
Let's just mention that Herb Jones is still available at 9.5, and you can get a good price. -170 in Caesars, -120 DraftKings and BetMGM. So he's still good. We shared it on the last show. We were afraid it would move, but it didn't. So you can get it still today.
Yeah, so that was over 9.5 points on Herb Jones in the same game. Again, that was for yesterday's show. Still available. So that's fine. If you didn't catch yesterday's show, you still have the opportunity to get this. -117 best in market at Caesars, but there's -120 is available out there as well. Once again, an odds comparison like BetSam is your friend to help find the best price for the books that you have available. But let's go now to the recap of the previous show's picks. And it was a winning day. It was a 1-1 day, but it was a winning day. Up half a unit here. The main play was a winner on Tyrese Haliburton and a no-sweat winner, might I add. We had under 19.5 points. Never got going on a point standpoint. This one finished at 12, but unfortunately, the big SGP does lose here. We go 2-5 on that one. Just didn't get the Milwaukee Bucks side of the big SGP here. Both Pacers legs are winners. Siakam easily, might I add. And the Lillard goes over. We needed him under. Portis and Middleton stay under. We needed their over here. What was it about Milwaukee's performance that let us down in this one?
Damian Lillard was hitting some crazy shots in the first half. I didn't like the defense on him, but it was way better than in the first game. In the first half, still didn't matter because he just... The threes he made in the first quarter were unbelievable. That's just like Steph Curry and Damian Lillard stuff. That's, nothing you can do there when it's going in like this. And at the end, he only covered by one three, one of these crazy threes. So Portis, I don't like him as a player, but he was 6 from 16, and most of his shots were inside the 5 feet from the rim against the Pacers, which is terrible. He missed three laps or something like that. Transition dunk and stuff. So yeah, this one was painful, and Chris Middleton never got it going. Poor game for Chris, and Pacers win, and pretty comfortable win, blowout win. So series tied 1-1. Interesting to see next game. Probably expecting Giannis to come back.
Yeah, let's talk about the Pacers here. They certainly made the adjustments after game one where they were horrendous on defense. Granted, they were actually very poor on defense in the first half in that game. Had a pretty good second half and continued to bring a lot of that to this game against the Bucks. Ended up winning by 17 points. Back in the commanding seat of this series, they were favored as the lower seed in this series before the series even started. And now they're heading home having done their job. They got an away win. How do you see the rest of this series playing out?
The difference between the first game and second game, a bit they were trying to set an early offense, way earlier than in the first game. So they were when Brook Lopez was under the rim, or they were just pushing it to get 5 or 4, and they scored a ton of it. Also, they had finally had 3 falling down. It was huge variance on one side in the first game, huge variance on the other side in the second game. And yeah, that's it. That's about it. When you make 16 threes in a playoff game, you're going to win. That's almost a fact. That's that difficult to, I would say this was terrible performance from the Bucks defense. They were attacking earlier, so Brook Lopez was always out of the position. They didn't know what to do. They tried different stuff against Tyrese Haliburton, and he made right passes. He played. Tyrese Haliburton scored only 12 points, but he had a good game. So, helps that Pascal Siakam is playing MVP.
Yeah, I've been saying for years, just give Pascal Siakam some space. He's a really good player. Never got it in Toronto. What a shame.
I even debated with some guys on Twitter. I hated for myself to even go into this debate. But people were saying Jalen Brown is better than Pascal Siakam, and I was going nuts. I think I even sent you that screenshot. Pascal Siakam is not next level player to comparing to Jalen Brown. But just saying, I knew he had this in him. You know it as well. Like Pascal is just crazy, and yeah, he got space and he got like attack. You can do whatever you want, just like complete freedom on offense, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, we're probably not seeing three from Siakam again in this playoffs. Yeah, but when things are falling for him, it's a beautiful game, and we got something from Nembhard and Nesmith compared to the first game. So yeah, this was huge game for the Pacers.
Yeah, I'm definitely biased on Siakam because he's a former Raptor, but hey, playing with space, a spacing center as well with Miles Turner, who he said was the player he wanted to play with the most other than Kevin Durant in the NBA, is telling to his time in Toronto. They never gave him some floor spacing, but we don't need to make this about the Raptors. Let's go to another interesting series here. This one is becoming very, very interesting for the wrong reasons for the Phoenix Suns, because they're down 2-0 in this series now, and I think a lot of times, even myself, we can overrate 2-0 series leads. Like, you're going home, you go win two home games, all of a sudden the series is tied. Can be easier sometimes than others, and this is going to be one of the harder times because it very much feels like the Phoenix Suns have just not even showed up in this series yet. And watching this game, the demeanor of this team, wow, the investment that has gone in, the investment of assets, the investments financially into contracts and luxury tax. Like, Devin Booker does not look good at all. Kevin Durant does not look like he wants to be in Phoenix. Like, he looks like he's ready to ask for another trade. All the assets that went into Bradley Beal. And for what? Like, they are miles off this series. Anthony Edwards says, you know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels, who produces a stunning 25-point performance here. Like, even the role players on the Timberwolves, that might be a bit disrespectful to a player like McDaniels, but
offensively, he is a role player.
Non-star players outshining the three-headed monster in Phoenix. What do Phoenix need to do to recover in this series, Pips?
I don't know. Like, this game was like Towns huge foul trouble, 12 points, like didn't contribute much. Edwards 3 from 12 from Edwards, and they win double digits. Like, yeah. Conley is a great player, like, and he showed up this one, scored 18 points, did all kinds of stuff. Rudy Gobert, and this is all-time great defense here in the first two games of the playoffs. Like, he is doing everything. Like, he got mocked so many times in the playoffs that he was played off the floor where opposing team was playing stretch five that can shoot. Now he's playing at a good defensive team. They can put whoever they want at the five. They can put even Nikola Jokic at the five, Embiid at the five. He will. Wolves defense will look great, and it's because Gobert is insane. Like, he switched on Booker. Hold his own. He switched on Beal. Hold his own. He switched on KD. Hold his own. Like, he was doing all kinds of great stuff. And we can see, like, three-headed monster, 93-95 points in the first two games. Like, they can win in the mud. They can win in a shootout. And Gobert is, like, the key guy for this team. Yeah, Wolves scored only 105 points. Towns and Edwards didn't do much. Yeah, role players got good numbers, but they held their opponents under 100 points. If they continue doing it, it doesn't matter what they do on the other side. They will score. Like, that's, and yeah, Gobert, McDaniels, Nickel, Alexander Walker, all three players are like probably like good enough for all defense. I think maybe second, but all defense. Like, I don't think Nickel got the minutes, but he's playing on that level. Like, he's one of the best perimeter defensive players in the league. Jalen McDaniels and Gobert. And you have like three players on the court for the most of the game. Edwards is doing great on defense as well. You have Conley, who is very experienced, that was great defensive player for like majority of his career. And Towns is improved. Like, this team is like insane in defense, and they are winning the defense. And everything on the other side of the court is just an extra. for this team.
Yeah. 6 of 13 for Booker, 6 of 15 for Durant, 6 of 17 for Bradley Beal. It was a rough night for the Suns, who might be on the way to crashing out once again in the early stages of an NBA playoff. So, you know, again, it's only 2-0. They can still win two home games, and all of a sudden they're back. But
I would say most interesting part about this is they lost 12. KD and Booker played 42 minutes, and they were minus 24 in those minutes. So they, 7 minutes that Booker and KD sit, they won by 12, which is insane. Like, they are not working well together at all. They don't look even like a team. They look like a your turn, my turn kind of team. And we knew that when the season started, and we expected them to become a team throughout the entire NBA season, and they are not looking like it. Of course, they can tie the series on somehow, but
it doesn't look likely.
At this point. It looks like a one-on-one at home, and then Wolves closing the series at home in fifth game. That's currently how it looks.
Yes. Let's go to the last game that was on the slate. It was in the Mavericks and Clippers game. And this is what you would call a playoff game. My goodness, neither of the teams shot the ball particularly well. But again, this is what playoff basketball can be, with the slower pace, with the defense that's being played. And we got that. And the Dallas Mavericks needed to grind out a win here. And they did. They got a 96-93 win over the Los Angeles Clippers here. This one kind of hangs in the balance heading to Dallas. Who do you see as the team in the ascendancy or the favorite to win this series?
I think we have a 7-game series here. This one was very interesting. Clippers won the rebounding battle. On offensive rebounds, they won possession battle, and they had less turnovers, 9 less turnovers, so they had more possessions in this game. They shot 11 more field goal attempts and had the same amount of free throws. So that kind of battle is on the Clippers' side. But we had a game where Maxi Kleber and PJ Washington shot 5 from 7 from three, and that's it. That's why they won. It's come down to the details. Like, Kyrie and Doncic put up the great game overall for both of the players. Not like crazy efficient, but for playoff standards, it's good enough. Like, they played good games. But PJ Maxi hitting that three late into the game, and PJ being there for the entire game. And on the other side, no one should, like, Russell Westbrook and Norman Powell and, like, bench. Mason Plumlee, Westbrook, and Powell were 4 from 22. That's it. Yeah.
Poor no game help from
whatsoever. Bench. And, like, Kawhi, 0 from 5 from 3. James Harden, 2 from 10 from 3. So James Harden probably was the best Clippers game in back-to-back playoff games. He was the best player in the first game, and he was the best player in the second game. He played a good game. Hit that three to give him a chance. And then, I don't know if you looked in the last minute of the game, but it was a 4-point game. Kyrie misses the free throw with 40 seconds left, and they got the offensive rebound, and the game is over. Yeah. Offensive rebound on a game, most important possession of the game, after a missed free throw. They didn't have neither Plumlee or Zubats to get the rebound. So, But this one is like one possession game probably for the rest of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, this looks like a very interesting one. We'll see which team has the firepower to, you know, get over the line, because it may just come down to a couple big shots here and there. This is what kind of game two did come down to. But some exciting action once again in the NBA tonight. Miami looking to get back in this series with the Boston Celtics and with the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have two bets that are going to be on the line, one of which was given out on today's show. That was Josh Giddey under 20.5 points, rebounds, and assists. We got it minus 105 at BetMGM. It was available in a lot of spots, minus 108 at FanDuel, minus 105 also at DraftKings, minus 103 at Pinnacle, minus 104 at Sugar House, BetRivers, Cambie Books. This one's available to the masses. And then we also had the Herb Jones over 9.5 points, which when we went live, that was -117 at Caesars. That's from yesterday's show, which is still a fine price to take. But there are -120s out there as well. Please ensure you use an odds comparison tool like BetSamp when you're searching for your player props. Make it easy to get the best price. And use our affiliate link that is pinned in chat or is in the description so that you can see what's available in your region and sign up to more sports books to make you a more profitable sports better by being able to always get the best price. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for more content right here on the Board YouTube channel. Drop a like if you enjoyed this one. Subscribe to the channel as well, and we will see you there.